DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Missionary Benedictines of Christ the King Priory, presents The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World, with Father Mauritius Fildi. Father Mauritius did his philosophical, theological, and doctoral studies in Rome. He is the author of numerous books, including I Want to Understand You, Encountering Foreign Worlds with the Little Prince, The New Image of God's Image, Meister Eckhart on Image and Theology, Peter and Paul, Models of Decision-Making, and On the Way, Benedict's Journey for Spiritual Maturity. Father Mauritius also serves as the prior of Sant'Anselmo in Rome. The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World, with Father Mauritius Fildi. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Father Mauritius, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's always a delight to be with you.
It is an opportunity for us to discuss something I think that is so important, and it's at the very, very essence of the rule, at least it's the very beginning, where St. Benedict asks us to listen with the ear of our heart. What are we listening for, and how do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is our basic attitude that we should strive for as monks, to become listening people, listening to the Word of God, spoken to us through Jesus Christ, and that is still alive in our hearts. And we have a beautiful episode in the life of Saint Benedict that describes how that works and how Benedict himself became this listening person and how this transformed him and the people around him and the world. I would like to share this episode with you. It's in chapter 31 of the Life of Saint Benedict, written by Gregory the Great. In the days of King Totila, one of the Goths, the Arian heretic Zala, had been persecuting devout Catholics everywhere with the utmost cruelty. No monk or cleric who fell into his hands ever escaped alive. In his merciless brutality and greed, he was one day lashing and torturing a farmer whose money he was after. Unable to bear it any longer, the poor man tried to save his life by telling Zala that all his money was in Abbot Benedict's hands. He only hoped his tormentor would believe him and put a stop to his brutality. When Zala heard this, he did stop beating him, but immediately bound his hands together with a heavy cord. Then, mounting his horse, he forced the farmer to walk ahead of him and lead the way to this Benedict who was keeping his money. The helpless captive had no choice but to conduct him to the abbey. When they arrived, they found the man of God sitting alone in the front of the entrance, reading. "This is the Abbot Benedict I meant," he told the infuriated Goth behind him. Imagining that this holy man could be frightened as readily as anyone else, Zala glared at him with eyes full of hate and shouted harshly, "Get up! Do you hear? Get up and give back the money this man left with you." At the sound of this angry voice, the man of God looked up from his reading, and as he glanced toward Zala, noticed the farmer with his hands bound together. The moment he caught sight of the cord that held them, it fell miraculously to the ground. Human hands could never have unfastened it so quickly. Stunned at the hidden power that had set his captive free, Zala fell trembling to his knees and bending his stubborn, cruel neck at the saint's feet, begged for his prayers. Without rising from his place, Benedict called for his monks and had them take Zala inside for some food and drink. After that, he urged him to give up his heartless cruelty. Zala went away thoroughly humbled and made no more demands on this farmer who had been freed from his bonds by a mere glance from the man of God. So we see here a very difficult situation for this farmer, an example of cruelty, violence, abuse, pressure. And we see how the monk Benedict responds to the situation. He doesn't draw his sword. He probably didn't have one. He doesn't shout. He doesn't teach Zala. He doesn't even get up from his chair. He stays seated. Stability. And just by a glance, just by looking at Zala and this poor farmer, he solved the situation. How could he do this? He could do it by being immersed in God's word first. So we see him sitting at the threshold of the monastery, reading. What does this mean? What did he read? He probably was reading the Bible. He was immersed in God's word. He did Lectio Divina. He did sacred reading. His eyes were fixed on the healing word of God, on the merciful word of God, on the right word of God, on the word of truth, on the word of reconciliation, on the word of the Almighty God. So his eyes were fixed on this word. And now come these two people. He looks up. So what does he have in his eyes at this point? It's the word of God. This is what he has still in his eyes. And he sees these two men through the eyes of God. And this caused both liberation and healing and mercy, because he was even merciful with this Zala. You know, he invited him to eat with the monks. This is a very nice note here, that this is how friendly Benedict must have looked at this cruel man. So he didn't become angry. You know, there would be a reason to be really angry. He didn't become upset. But the point here is, how did he do it? By being immersed first in the Word of God. And not only first, but also at last. So the whole scene is starting with this sacred reading and ending in this reading. This is why Benedict doesn't move into the monastery. He tells his monks, give him something to eat and to drink. He himself could say, oh, that's not a nice host. No. He knows where he has to be. He has to stay with the word of God. He has to go back to this word of God right away after what has happened, to stay there reading.
How does that reflect in our lives, Father Mauritius? How can we enter in that deeply to the word?
Actually, there are two temptations in our lives. One is that we are just disgusted by the world and want to retire fully from the world and don't look at all this stuff at all. People told me recently, I not even want to watch TV anymore. I cannot stand it. I cannot stand what I see. I just want to shut down. So there is an understandable tendency to just get away, to retire. This is one temptation. The other temptation is to be too much immersed into the world, to be too much engaged and involved in all of this stuff. Saint Benedict sits on the threshold of the monastery. He sits at the entrance of the monastery. So this is the right place for our sacred reading. It is not the reclusiveness of holy world in a monastery or wherever. It is not to being politically engaged and fighting and doing whatever out in the world, because in both instances we can miss to still be connected with this Word of God. So I think an important point here is sitting on the threshold.
Can't help but think of an image in my mind of my dad. He was loved to fly fish, and he would put bait on the end of a very fine, if you ever seen fly fishermen, the line is even different. It's like almost airy. It's very, it's meant to just rest right on the top of the water. Mm-hmm. So you have to cast it out in a very special way so that it just lays on the water and the bait stays on the top of the water and the fish comes up to grab it. And it's almost as though what St. Benedict is doing, he's right on the top of the water between the air, heaven, and then the sea, the water, which is the earth, where you can get immersed in it, and then you're non-functional. Or if you remain in the air, it's non-functional. But if you stay right on the surface, being wherever God has placed it, then the fish comes up, and then it's God who does the hooking. The bait doesn't do the work. It's the fisherman does the work.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm not an expert in fishing, but I just love what you describe, because this is exactly what Benedict does. In this way, one could say he's fishing man. He's really fishing man. We all want to be at secure and firm places, either here or there. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of in between. We are between heaven and earth, and this is where we should be. And the Word of God itself is a human word and it's a divine word. It's both. And I hear it with my human ears and human heart, but I'm invited to hear it with my Christ-like heart. Let me describe a little bit more what I mean with these two temptations. So as we describe kind of the extremes or the traps, we can see more, we can see better where our place could be. So the temptation to retire totally, to retire into holy circles and to be in a holy world that is not really holy, our Pope Francis really warns us not to do this. And one of his talks that I like the most is from the pre-conclave. So before he was even elected pope, he said to the cardinals, and think about it, that they still voted for him afterwards. He said, when the church does not come out of herself to evangelize, she becomes self-referential and then gets sick. The evil that over time happened in ecclesial institutions have their root in self-referentiality and a kind of theological narcissism. In Revelation, Jesus says that he is at the door and knocks. Obviously, the text refers to his knocking from the outside in order to enter, but I think about the times in which Jesus knocks from within, so that we will let him come out. When the church is self-referential, inadvertently, she believes she has her own light. She ceases to be the mysterium lunae and gives way to that very serious evil, spiritual worldliness, which according to De Lubac is the worst evil that can befall the Church, it lives to give glory only to one another. So, Jesus is at the door and knocks. Saint Benedict sits at the door. This is our place. At least as missionary Benedictines, but I would say that for any Christian, this would be the best place to be kind of between heaven and earth, which is not a between, it is really a place. It is a place. But one has to do something in order to attain this stability.
We'll return in just a moment to The Holy Rule of Saint Benedict, a spiritual guide for today's world with Father Mauritius Fildi.
The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
If you have been blessed in some way by the spiritual nourishment and teachings offered freely by all those involved with Discerning Hearts programs, please consider a positive review for the various programs on the iTunes and Google Play stores. This is a great way to help the ministry and is an encouragement to others who are seeking the best in spiritual formation to find and check out the programs. Won't you please help? It's an easy way to help give back and to be a part of the mission. Thank you, and God bless from all at Discerning Hearts.
We now return to The Holy Rule of Saint Benedict, a spiritual guide for today's world with Father Mauritius Fildi. I know that there are many who they feel a sense of peace and they receive a healing by being what they feel immersed in a Christian community, or maybe they may even call it a Catholic community. That, and it's not unlike what Saint Benedict envisioned, I'm sure, with the work of the hospital, that place of healing love, the hospice, where people are brought in and they're cared for it and they're nurtured. And sometimes we have that when we've have a what they call a reconversion. Somehow they are being called back into relationship with God. They come in and they learn so much and they're so excited and they're very involved in the church. And yet, just as in being in a hospital, you're not called to stay there once you're healthy. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to leave and go back out in the world. And it's the same way that we're called to just say, I'm going to stay in this particular community and not engage outside in my family, my friends, coworkers, my neighbors, who may not be immersed in that same Christian culture, but yet to not go out and be present among them. How do we bring Christ then to them? Am I making too much out of that?
No, not at all. I think it's okay if we, as we become Christians, stay more within the family. We need this. It's nurturing to a certain degree, especially as beginners. But then, as you said, we have to go out. The word of God is given to us not to keep it for ourselves. And we cannot blame the others that they don't believe it or don't understand it. This man, Zala, this cruel man, did not believe in the word of God. Didn't even follow anything of it. It doesn't matter. It's how we look at the world that makes the difference. But Saint Benedict did not close his eyes. You know, he didn't tell them, go away, I don't want to have to deal with this. Here's our holy ground. go away. No, he felt compassion and pity with this farmer and probably also with Zala. So there was something to do for him in this world. The other extreme is to get totally immersed into the world with worldly things and businesses, to get lost in the world. This is the other temptation, to lose the focus. So Saint Benedict stays seated. He does not get up. Saint Benedict in his rule, chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, says, "You should become a stranger to the world's ways. The love of Christ must become before all else." And in chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "Some monks are still loyal to the world by their actions. They clearly lie to God with their tonsure." So here's kind of the other side, you know. You shouldn't be too much in your holy circles, but you shouldn't also be too much in the world. So there are some who, as monks, even they might have an habit, a tonsure, and might have holy words on their lips all the time. This is especially dangerous for religious professionals, so that means for priests, deacons, bishops, monks. But we are still doing what the whole world does. So this is also not right. St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Jesus himself says, "If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." At another place we hear, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. But everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." So, we need both. We need the relationship to the world and to the divine word.
In a very practical way, the rule gives us a way to kind of keep that line. I had used that image of the fisherman or the bait, and the father is the fisherman. The mm-hmm. line that connects us is that continual prayer that connects us. And in the rule, just having that daily sequence, the discipline of continually seeking that connection. Mm-hmm. God is reaching out to us. We just are constantly having to will ourselves to go there every mm-hmm. day throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And that discipline is vital, isn't it, Father?
Yes, it is. You know, this threshold, we have to learn over the years to be there and to be stable there. How can we do it? By going in, going out, going in, going out. This is the Benedictine motto: pray and work, ora et labora. You pray, you try to get immersed in the Word of God, and then you work, which means you really are out in the world. And we need both. We just need both. And the discipline consists of going back and going forth and not getting stuck in one of those. This would be the Benedictine discipline.
Well, we have so much to ponder and such a wonderful gift in the sacred scriptures that if we can continue to just go there and experience it, that can help to, it can begin to transform us, can it?
Yes. And transformation means that I am becoming new. And this is what the divine words wants to do to us. It wants to transform us to become a new creation. When we are upset, when we look at the world's history and happenings and political scene and everything, we are upset because it's old. We don't want to have this anymore. We are longing for a new beginning. But this beginning, according to our faith, can only come from God. In the very same way as Benedict encountered this bad man, Zala, who would have thought that this man would convert? Who would have thought that this injustice between this bad man and this poor farmer would finally be resolved? Nobody. Would Benedict have applied, or the monks have applied, political means, worldly means? I don't know if this would have helped. If he would have just prayed for them, I don't know if this would have helped. What he did was, he exposed himself to the very new that he himself not even was aware of. You know, as I said, Benedict was not teaching here. He probably didn't even know what was going to happen. So in other words, God wants to create a new heaven and a new earth. This is what we learn in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And he says, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. And this is what can sacred reading give us. It can make everything new.
Thank you so much, Father Mauritius.
You are very welcome, Chris. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World with Father Mauritius Vildi. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. You can also hear it on the free Discerning Hearts app available on the iTunes and Google Play stores. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for The Holy Rule of St. Benedict, A Spiritual Path for Today's World with Father Mauritius Vildi.